turn with me to the Gospel according to Romans. You ever heard that before? Romans has been called the fifth gospel. It is the gospel according to grace. Amen. I'm glad that I know that word grace. I'm glad that grace is part of my vocabulary. I'm glad that I understand what it means to have the grace of God in my life. Aren't you? The gospel according, you've got the gospel according to Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. Romans is the gospel according to grace. We're going to begin reading in chapter 4 this morning. Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. If I do something, if I physically do something, then I can boast at what I did, but I can't give God the credit because I did it. That's what he's saying. Verse 3, for what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, that word accounted is an accounting term. If you've ever had an accounting class, they teach you to draw like a little plus on your paper. And this side of the paper are credits, and this side are debits, right? Debits. And if you have money in your account, it's been credited to your account. And if you have an accounts payable, that means bills you got to pay, they're over here. And so you've got your debits on this side and your credits on this side. And in order for one to offset the other, you apply this, you debit your credit side, which reduces how much money you have, and you apply that credit to the bill, and they cancel each other out, right? Plus five, minus five, right? Not that any of us have $5 bills. They're more like a whole lot more, right? Well, you and I had bills to pay. It was called sin. We had a debt to pay. When I first got saved years ago, we used to sing a song. I bet Nola knows it. She knows all the ones. He owed a debt I could not pay. Remember that? I owed a debt, he paid a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to take my sins away, right? Remember that song? And so we had a debt. It was called sin. Somebody has to pay the debt, right? And aren't you glad that God was willing to let his son, Jesus Christ, pay the debt for us? Amen? And so when we, like Abraham, believe the promise, then the debt of our sin, God credits his righteousness to our account. And so when the devil says, who do you think you are acting like you're all that? Then we understand, well, you know I'm not all that. I'm nothing. I had a debt I couldn't pay. But God, because I believed, credited my account with the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ. See, he's got the righteousness over here on this side. All I got over here is a debt called sin. But when that accounting transfer takes place at the cross, when I believed, then I was credited with the righteousness of God. And so when God sees me through the blood of Jesus, he doesn't see all the stuff I know I've done and do. He sees the righteousness of God. And therefore, he calls me Saint, Saint Roger, Saint Eddie, amen. We don't have the Catholic Church doesn't have to canonize you as a saint. You're already a saint, brother. You're a saint because God applied the righteousness, transferred the righteousness of God to you. Amen. So Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. To him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, I like that part, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Look at your neighbor and say, don't work. Don't work. Now, I'm not talking about don't go to your job. I'm talking about don't try to work to earn your salvation. Don't try. You can't do it. You cannot do it. Paul said, the law was a schoolmaster bringing me to Christ. In other words, I tried to keep the Ten Commandments, and I couldn't do it, and I got frustrated, and I realized I needed someone to help me. And so I found Jesus. And he said, I'm willing to help you if you'll just believe. Amen. And so because of that, I don't work anymore. I don't try to. I'm not saying that the Ten Commandments aren't good. I'm not saying we should go out and kill people, commit adultery, lie. We know they're good. I just know I can't keep them. So I do what I can do, and I trust in what he did. Amen. Because I'm not resting in my works. I'm resting in the finished work of God. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Say, well, I saw Brother Roger doing this. Hang around me, you'll see a few more things. But, you know, it's not what I do, it's what I believe that matters. Amen? Can I say that again? It's not what I do, it's what I believe that matters. It's what I believe. It is accounted to me righteous by my faith. His faith is accounted to him as righteous. Just as David also described the blessedness of the man who God imputes righteous apart from works, saying, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom God shall not impute sin. So he didn't say the man didn't sin. He said God doesn't impute sin. There's a difference. Everybody sins. It's just you don't get punished for the sin. Wow. You know, if I didn't know any better, this sounds like some kind of good news. I had the Muskogee Phoenix call me one time back when I had a landline. Remember those days? They said, we want to sell you the Muskogee Phoenix newspaper. I don't want it. She said, why not? I said, it's full of bad news. I said, I like reading good news. Well, what kind of good news do you like to read? That Jesus loves me, that God's for me, not against me, that he's got a plan for my life, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed me from all sin. She said, bye. I never had a sales rep hung up on me before. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only or upon the uncircumcised? For what? Say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised? Or uncircumcised, not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. What in the world does all this mean? You see, circumcision is to a Jew as a lot of these other things are to the church, like water baptism, right? I was talking to that last week. What weren't we? We were talking about Church of Christ, amen, and how that's like legalistic law, you know? You're not water baptized in their water for the remission of sins. You're not saved, you know? And you could say the Sabbath for the Seventh-day Adventist, and you could say this for them and this for them. But the point is that Abraham wasn't justified when he was circumcised. He was justified before the law of circumcision. In other words, he was justified before he was religious. Now I'm going to step on some toes here. See, sometimes the church looks down their nose at someone because they're not religious, but you and I forget I got saved when I was not religious. Amen? And Abraham was justified before he was circumcised. Before he did religious acts, God said, you're not guilty. And why? Because he went to church? No. Because he was circumcised? No. Because he said, hallelujah, glory to God, praise God, thank you, Jesus? No. Because he believed God. Amen? And everybody who ever makes it to heaven will get there not because they're religious, not because of what they did, not because of what they said, but because of what they believed, amen, and whom they believed. And so he was justified and declared righteous by his faith before he was ever circumcised, before he was religious, amen. And he also received the sign of circumcision, the seal of righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe. Though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness may be imputed unto them also. Now, we say, you know, the Jews say Abraham was our father, right? But the church says Abraham is our father. But they are saying Abraham is our father according to the bloodline, according to lineage, according to, you know, he was Abraham and then he had Isaac and Jacob had the 12 sons, and he was renamed Israel, and we are the children of Israel, and so Abraham is our father, right? But Paul here is saying that Abraham's got a whole lot of other kids than the Jews, because They're looking at the bloodline, but we're looking at faith. And so Abraham becomes our father in the faith because God promised Abraham in his old age he's going to have a kid, and this kid is going to have kids, and out of his loins a whole nation is going to come. And he's an old man, and it's an impossibility for him to have kids. It's an impossibility for his wife to have kids. And even though it's impossible, he had the audacity to believe God, and therefore he is my father and your father because we are men and women of faith who believe the impossible. So Abraham's our father because we believe. But the promise that he would be an heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Can I read this again? You know, when you start to read this stuff, it really kicks over some sacred cows, even in the church. And I mean kicks them over. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. In other words, the minute I add to faith, you got to believe and be baptized. You got to believe and keep the Ten Commandments. You got to believe. Hey, let's step on some Pentecostal toes and speak in tongues, right? The minute I add anything to this, I make the grace of God of no effect, void. And I don't want to void the grace of God. That's the only way I'm getting there. I don't know about you guys. I've tried to do it, and I'm telling you, I make mistakes. I fail. I fall short. The flesh gets in the way. My attitude gets in the way. I roll my eyes and have an attitude. And God says, you can't go into heaven like that. And then I say, wait a minute, I'm not getting into heaven by what I do and not what I do. I'm getting in heaven by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, in that case, come on in. And so I understand that it is by faith, and that faith makes, and that the law makes faith void and the promise no effect, because the law brings about wrath. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. Jesus said, don't think I come to destroy the law, I come to fulfill it. Now, what did he mean by that? He meant there is no way you in yourself will ever keep the Ten Commandments. You can't do it. But when you live a life in the Spirit through faith, you can. It's one of those oxymorons, it's one of those paradoxes that we can't seldom wrap our head around, because you know what? It's an issue of the heart and it's an issue of love. You see, Jesus was sitting talking to one of the Pharisees one time, and this woman comes in and she's crying on Jesus' feet and wiping his feet with her hair. And the Pharisee is thinking in himself, if he knew what kind of woman this was, he wouldn't be letting her touch him. Jesus, reading his mail, knows what he's thinking. And he says, Simon, I got a question for you. If a man owed so much money to this guy, and he, you know, $100, and he let him forgive the debt, and then this other guy owed him $40 billion, and he forgave the debt, which one do you think would love him more? And he said, I suppose the one that had the most forgiven. And he said, that's right. He said, I came into my house, and you didn't wash my feet. You didn't anoint me. But ever since I've came here, this woman has not ceased to anoint my, to wash my feet with her tears and dry them with her hair. And though she is a sinner and she sinned a lot, she's forgiven, and therefore she loves a lot. You know what? I'm glad this morning that I haven't arrived. I'm glad that I'm still a sinner saved by grace, because it makes me love God more. You know, you think of these perfect people, and then there's me. And I can't help but love a God that loves me when he knows me like he knows me. And because of this, it changes my heart. I don't not sin because of the law. I don't do certain things because I love someone who loves me that much. And that's the paradox of how you can keep the law through faith because of love. Amen? Hallelujah. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, and not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Ooh, this is good preaching. Paul, I'm giving Paul the credit. I'm just telling you what he said. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he had believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls the things which are not as though they are, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendant be. Now, here we go. Here's my introduction. Verse 19. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver, or in other words, King James says he staggered not, at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he promised he was able to perform. Hallelujah. Now, it says that he was 100 years old. It says that his body, as far as the reproduction, was dead, and his wife's was dead. Sarah's womb was dried up. He couldn't father a son. She couldn't get pregnant. These were the conditions of the time. And he looked at these conditions. He looked at the situation. He considered these, and he staggered not at the promise of God. Now, you and I will come across circumstances in our life where the circumstances will be in our face against the Word of God. The circumstances will say, there's no way this could happen. The circumstances will scream in your ear and in your spirit, don't believe God, that's ridiculous, there's no way this could happen. But Abraham, being the father of faith, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. It didn't stagger his faith. He had the circumstance on one side and the Word of God on the other, and he said, he had the audacity to say, I'm going to believe God regardless of the circumstance. He staggered not. Now, I have to admit, there have been times where circumstance has staggered me. You know what stagger is? It's you remember the old Red Skelton act, you know, where he's drunk and he's trying to put the key in the door or something. I'm dating myself again. You know, like a drunk man, staggering, right? You know, and sometimes circumstances come in our face and it knocks us back. We think, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this thing. And we stagger. But Abraham, the father of faith, who is our inspiration today, did not stagger. He believed God. He staggered not at the promise of God. Now, I want you to notice that the promise was also one of the issues, because the promise contradicted the circumstance. Sometimes it's the promise that would stagger you. I've said to people who don't understand the gospel, the good news, you know, they think church is religion. And I've tried to explain to people before that, well, I don't want to give up my drink and my beer. Then drink your beer. That staggers them. They don't understand it. They say, I've never met someone like you. Most of the people I've ever met are religious. I say, I hate religion. Religion killed Indira Gandhi. Religion plowed planes at the World Trade Center. Religion divides people. I hate religion. I like good news. And here's the good news. The promise of God is that if you believe, you get to go to heaven. You don't have to die. Well, now, wait a minute. So all I got to do is believe? Yeah. Well, don't I have to, like, clean up my act? You can't clean up your act. If you could, Jesus wouldn't have had to go to the cross. Can I get an amen? Now, yes, you need to have a sincere heart. You know, you can't, God knows your heart. You can't play games with God. You can't say, I'm going to go out and sleep around and just say, I believe. Yeah, God knows your heart. But if you are genuinely repentant and you confess Jesus Christ, that's, you're saved. Amen? That's good news. Sometimes people stagger that because the news is so good, it seems impossible. When God told Abraham, you're going to have a son in your old age, that was just seemed impossible. The news was just too good. It seemed impossible. But he staggered not at the promise of God. I sometimes have trouble thinking about, you know, it could be tomorrow, it could be a week from tomorrow, but one of these days, I'm going to be standing on streets of gold. I mean, that's hard for me to wrap my head around. I'm going to see King Jesus. This thing I've read 1,000 times in Revelation chapter 5, the throne room of God, with all the 24 elders casting their crown before the sea of glass and the winged cherubims and everybody singing holy, holy. I'm going to be there. That boggles my mind. But I'm just going to believe it. It seems too good to be true, but I'm just going to believe it. I'm not going to stagger at it. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. His faith was strong. He had strong faith. He held on to what he knows. He didn't care what the people said. He didn't care what circumstance said. He didn't care what the devil said. He didn't care what the paper said. He didn't care what Congress said. He held on to what he knew. God said it, I believe it. He was strong in faith. But he gave the glory to God. He gave the glory to God. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. People say, how could you just believe like that? I don't know. I give God the glory. You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing the word of God. When I was 19 years old, I got saved. All my buddies were going to the club. I was getting up at 5 a.m., going to Village Inn, give me some coffee. Gotta read this book. Pump enough caffeine in you, you can read for a long time without getting tired. Hallelujah. I've been in the book, man. I've been reading this thing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do you have so much faith? To God be the glory. He wrote the book. I don't take credit for it. Abraham was strong in faith, believing God, giving God the glory, and being fully persuaded that what he promised he was able to perform. Now, if someone comes to me, I could have faith in somebody's promise. They could say, Roger, I'm going to give you $1 million. And it could be Bill Gates. He could do it. But he could change his mind. He could say, well, you know what? I changed my mind. Oh, I was believing he was going to do it. But he could change his mind. Someone could come to you and make a promise, and they could change their mind. And you could go out and you could say, well, I'm going to have $1 million next week. I think I'll go out and charge me one of those giant TVs and this. I'll pay it off because I'm going to have all this money. What's going on? He promised. But look at this. Being fully convinced that what he promised, he was also able to perform. You see, he knew God had the ability to do it and the integrity to keep his word. Other people may not, but I'm here to tell you, let every man be a liar and let God be true. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. God is not a man that he should lie, but God is God. And if he said it, he'll do it. You can take it to the bank. God is God. Every word that's ever came out of his mouth has come to pass or will come to pass. He said, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever. People ridicule this book and say it'll pass away. They've passed away. It's still here. Amen. I said it's still here. God's word is sure, and you can stand on it. What he promised, he is able to perform. And therefore, anytime you see therefore or wherefore, ask what it's there for. It's a transitional statement connecting two thoughts. All of this, Paul, the master of the run-on sentence, from the beginning of chapter 4, has his introduction down to verse 21, and therefore, his conclusion, it was accounted to him for righteousness. It was accounted to him for righteousness. I can remember the old yellow house. That's what we used to call it. It was banana yellow. It was a rent house before we lived in the house we were in. Kids were young. I'd put in, this is before DVDs, I think an old VHS tape I had of Carmen, music video of Carmen. And it was a story. It was a young black man who was in one of those things like they have at courtrooms where the guy stands, where he's on trial. And Carmen is the video, you know how they can do with cameras. They've got Carmen dressed in a red sparkly suit like he's the devil with a little black mustache, you know. And then there's another Carmen over here in a white tuxedo. And then there's a Carmen up on a big judge's bench. And this man is brought before heaven, and he's on trial. And the devil, who is the accuser of the brethren, says to this guy, you did this, and you did this, and you're that, and you're that. And aren't you glad we understand that the devil's accuser of the brethren? I'm not glad he is. I'm just saying it's good to understand that. Then when you understand the voice, you can recognize the voice. When you understand the modus operandi, you know where it's coming from. Amen? And so he's in heaven, and he's accusing all this. And the judge, God the Father, the judge is looking, and he says, you're right. You're right. You're guilty. You did all those things. And then the Jesus, Carmen, comes from the side and says, wait a minute, judge. I died for him on the cross, and he put his faith and trust in me, and he goes through this whole thing, right? And it's all set to music, you know. And he says, check the book, check the book. It's all in the book, the devil says. And he opens the book, and the pages are blank. Said, the blood of Jesus must have worked. There's nothing in here. It's gone. And then the chorus goes in, is your name in the book? But I said all that to say this. I'm watching it this day. And I'm just, you know, sometimes you just get pulled into something, right? Where you're just so connected emotionally that you're just right there. That's me there. And I've done those things. And I was just so connected. And then when they said that, this black guy, he just throws his arms around Jesus. And I begin to sob. And Harrison was about 12. Harrison was always my tender-hearted son. You know, everybody has one of those, you know. One you never have to spank. You just scold them, and they're just blubbering, you know. And he looks over at me, and when he sees me, he starts crying. Is your name in the book? Is your name in the book? And I just begin to thank God right there for the blood of Jesus Christ, because I have put my faith and trust in him. That the pages are blank. That's good news. I said that's good news. And therefore, he said, it was accounted to him for righteousness. That means the pages are now blank. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for you and me too, for us also. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. And that word justification means just as if I never did it. Amen? We're going to read a couple more verses in the chapter 5, and then we're going to close. Come on up, Noah. Therefore, there's another one of those therefores, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that I remember noticing so immediately after I got saved, you know, as a kid growing up, going to funerals or whatever, you know, you can't help but start thinking about death, and that can be scary. I'm going to die someday. But then when you get saved, when you understand justification by faith, you have peace with God. There's peace. I'm not as scared of dying anymore. In fact, I'm kind of looking forward to it. the world wouldn't understand. They'd say, you're morbid, man. What's the matter with you, looking forward to dying? Yeah, but you see, you understand, when for a Christian, there is no sting to death. It's victory. It's celebration. It's a day of rejoicing. The only sad people are the ones left behind. I'm going to be doing somersaults in heaven. So he said, therefore, having been justified by my faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Amen. We stand fast in hope of the glory of God. Let's all stand, shall we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Just close your eyes for a minute. Let's just wait on the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me so much. Thank you, Lord, that your blood has blotted out every writing against me. The pages are white. They're blank, Lord. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the faith to believe. Lord, help us to believe more. Help us, Lord, this morning to not stagger at the promises of God, your unbelief, but help us, like our father Abraham, the father of faith, to be strong in God, to be strong in faith, to give you the glory, Lord, to give the glory to God. That, Lord, that you who began a good work in us will continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I tell you what, let's just pray a prayer of dedication back to the Lord this morning. Put your hand on your heart, if you would, and repeat after me. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe. I believe that in the fullness of time, you sent forth your Son, made of flesh, born of a woman, yet without sin. And he died on a cross 2,000 years ago and shed his blood to wash away my sins. And he made that promise to me that if I would believe the finished work on the cross, he would wash away my sins, forgive my sins, write my name in heaven, and take me there. And according to your word, which cannot lie, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died for me and has washed away my sin according to my faith. And according to the Word of God, I'm washed, I'm cleansed, I'm saved. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. What shall we sing?
You want to do that I'm covered over with a robe?
No, I need, let me think
you
here. Let me think here.
One?
Well, I don't know what I'm getting ready to say. Well, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine today. God told Satan, get thee behind, victory is mine today. Well, victory is mine, victory is mine, victory is mine today. God told Satan, get thee behind, victory is mine today. Well, the Holy Ghost is mine. Holy Ghost is mine. Holy Ghost is mine today. God told Satan, get thee behind. Victory is mine today. Sing it again. Well, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine today. God told Satan, get thee behind. Victory is mine today. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. Thank you guys for coming.